This is Ashley Hodge. I'm joined by Kendall Kaut, Sikkim 365 Ring Before Spring podcast. And we're doing the Zoom also. Jack McKenzie, our fearless production guy at Sikkim 365, requested a Zoom so people could see our beautiful faces. We've always been told that we have faces made for radio and podcasts, but they get to see us in person if they want to, or they can choose not to. We'll put this in the podcast feed as well. Kendall, how you doing?
Doing well, actually, and I guess that beats being told we have voices for print, so we at least have something going for us.
That's right. Well, hey, it's the best time of year, man. March Madness, the Big 12 showcase is over. I'm actually glad I didn't go this year. You were there in person, but it's a short drive for you. And it went kind of like we expected. I mean, it's Iowa State really got it rolling, and boy, they got rewarded on Selection Sunday too, didn't they?
Yeah, it's Mizzou 2012 all over again. The committee has no respect if you play a non-con like that.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I thought they might get the number one seed, but I thought at a minimum they would get that top two seed, but they got the last two seed, and now they got to go through murderer's row, including UConn, to get to the Final Four if it works out that way. That's a tough bracket. And Baylor's got their own challenges. Although when I look at the Baylor's bracket, I don't really see any teams that are, defensively scary. North Carolina looks pretty good in the metrics defensively, but other than them, you're talking about, you know, maybe a potential matchup with Arizona, North Carolina. I mean, you know, actually Arizona's, you know, metrics are pretty decent as well on the defensive end. They're 12th in KenPom. But you're not talking about the second coming of Houston and Iowa State either. I mean, these are going to be hopefully more free-flowing games, and you know Baylor will be able to demonstrate what they do well, and that is offense. And they're going to be up against some potential teams that can really score the basketball as well. So let's talk the first matchup, Colgate. That is a team that's been in the NCAA 3 or 4 years in a row, I believe, and you know, they haven't won a game, but they've been a pick, you know, that's been trendy to win a game. And, you know, let's hope that this isn't the year. I did watch one of their games against Lehigh in the Bucknell. Sorry, Lehigh was the championship game. I watched the Bucknell game on YouTube, and I was really impressed by this one guy they have, Jeff Woodard. Have you scouted them at all? Have you looked at any clips?
Yep. So I watched a large majority of the Illinois game and then watched a few highlights this morning.
Okay. Jeff Woodard, you're too young to remember this guy, but Jeff Roland was kind of a lumbering center for the Washington Bullets. And I grew up watching the Bullets and high school and went to many Bullets games. And he was, he was a very effective player, like a poor man's Joker. And I mean, just one of these guys that never lifted his, you know, feet too far off the ground, but could score with carving out space and real physical. And this Jeff Woodard, who's 6'11", 270, kind of reminds me of him, the way he moves. He's kind of like a Josh Lomers, you know, type of player. So I'm interested to see how their bigs do against our bigs, because, you know, they got some size and strength, but obviously we got some athletes that we can throw at them, and Eve Missy and Josh Ojewuna. That'll be an interesting matchup. What did you see about Colgate that concerns you? Where do you think Baylor's, you know, just much stronger than them on paper?
Yep. The one, I agree with you, Ashley, that Jeff Woodward gives him some problems potentially on the inside, but I think ultimately Misi and Baylor's kind of speed with the guard should be able to provide double teams. Maybe the matchup that you got to kind of cross match for or watch out for, I think, is Ryan Moffitt. And this is, again, I don't know how to pronounce all these guys' names. I haven't seen a media release yet. That's how it's spelled on KenPom. Again, in the Illinois game, he had some pretty good pump fakes, and he's a little nifty near the hoop, and he's 6'7". And so if theoretically Jacoby Walter gets matched up against him, you worry a little bit about, does Jacoby stay in front of him well enough? Does he break down the defense? Does that lead to some early threes? We know how well Baylor starts games. So if Baylor gets down 15-5 early, do we start getting a little worried there? So if it were me, I might think about doing a little bit of a cross matchup and just saying, hey, Jalen Bridges needs to guard him, or Jaden Nunn can shift up a spot. And since Colgate doesn't have a lot of size in the backcourt, they list their point guard Braden Smith at 6 feet. I got to tell you, that guy is not 6 feet. As somebody
Right.
who's pretended to be 6 feet before, this guy has all the tools of being a pretend 6 feet guy. So, not a lot of size there. I think that's really the one guy I look for is Ryan Moffitt. Does he get going? You contain him, I feel good. And then offensively, if Baylor doesn't really score, I'd be shocked in this game. Every top 105 team they've played this season has given up or has scored at least 1 point adjusted per possession, which is a good mark to be at. And then, credit to Baylor. I often say, stop scheduling so many grambling states of the world. That's become now a narrative about the Big 12. Schedule more teams like Cornell. I think playing Cornell helps for a game like this because the, crafty white boys who aren't the most athletic in the world, but have the ability to shoot, play good offense. That's the kind of team you're playing every year if you play a Patriot League champion.
Right.
That helps when you play Cornell as opposed to, well, we know what it is to play Iowa State. We know how easy it is to beat Southern. What are those teams in the middle that you have to play? So, kudos to Baylor for scheduling Cornell. I think that'll be a big boon to Baylor. That's kind of my assessment. What are the things you look at for how Baylor can do offensively and in the rest of the game, Ashley?
Yeah, I like that assessment, and I agree with you that the Cornell game is a terrific preparation for this game. And, and thinking about that, I mean, you can make an argument for maybe that being a scheduling philosophy going forward. I don't know how many Mountain West teams would agree to do, just a game at Foster Pavilion. You probably wouldn't want to return those games to some of those venues, but like if maybe you did a game at Foster Pavilion and then returned it to a neutral site, that might be something that is worth considering. Yeah, I mean, but just to get like different styles of play against different teams, I think is important as preparation for March Madness. Yeah, but to your question, I agree with you. Like Braden Smith doesn't look like he's 6 foot, and their other guard is pretty small too. Jalen Cox. I mean, he's listed at 6'3", but he looks like he's maybe 6'1". So they, Baylor's going to have a size advantage in the backcourt, and probably can frustrate them with some wingspan and length. Braden Smith's a really good rebounder. I noticed that coming out of the game I watched that he really sticks his body in there and gets tough rebounds, much like a Jaden Nunn does for us. And Jacoby's turned into a really good rebounder too. Ray J rebounds. I mean, we've actually been rebounding the ball really well. So that's my key to the game is control the glass. Like, don't turn it over. Let's get shots up. Let's get our offensive rebounds. Let's extend possessions and really crush their will. And let's see a lot of Caleb Lohner. That guy's been playing unbelievable. Let's put him against that Woodard and see how much Woodard likes handling that 6'8", 230-pound athleticism that Lohner brings to the table. I think Lohner can be a really key guy for Baylor in the tournament. And I think he's given us a glimpse of some really good things going forward.
Yeah, I agree with that take. I've been a Lohner hater for a lot of the season. I still think the hate was justified when I brought it, but played really well in Kansas City. I got a chance to talk to him for a couple minute stretches in the locker room. After the Cincinnati game, I even asked him, I was like, we often wonder, will you shoot threes? He makes a three against Iowa State. So I'm excited for what Lohner can do. I think he'll be a big addition to the zone. I would expect this is a game I think you probably play a little bit more man to man because you don't want a team to get hot shooting a lot of threes. But I would think in that second game, the zone will really be imperative for Baylor.
Yeah, I agree with that. And something I mentioned is that the zone, I think, on that quick turnaround can be a really effective tool. I just know that in the past when we won that first game, having the second opponent against that zone when you only have one day of preparation can be a challenge. So I think we might be able to sneak some better than expected performances that second game. So if you get New Mexico, Clemson, everybody's down on Clemson. I mean, they're the better seed, but they got just totally waxed and by Boston College and the ACC tournament. But they've got the best player that we'll probably see, and is it PJ Hall? I think PJ Hall is his name. Yeah, he's a stud. He's really good. So I think, you definitely we're thinking, everybody's going to be picking New Mexico, but I think we could see Clemson in that game. But whoever it is, throwing the zone at them's going to, I think, be effective.
I think so too. It looks like right now New Mexico is about a 2.5 point favorite, which should equal. I'm guessing I haven't looked at the KenPom line, but I'm guessing it's probably 58, 59% chance New Mexico wins the game. I was like, let me see what they got for that one real quick as we click through. 55%, so even less than I thought.
Right.
But I think New Mexico is going to win that game a little bit faster than Clemson. I'm also all the way out on the ACC, though. Maybe that's just my taste being off because Virginia had no business being in the dance. Maybe the most ridiculous at-large team we've had in years. But
Yeah.
I think it'll be New Mexico. But as you mentioned, wouldn't be shocking if it's Clemson. But with how Baylor's done the last few years, where you can understand losing to Carolina that makes the final with the injuries, creating a really good team, almost in the Final Four last year. Heck, might have won it all if they'd gotten to the final weekend, probably still lose to UConn, but capable team of winning it all last year. It would just really be nice to get to another Sweet 16, have a second weekend. Those of us that are making the trek to Memphis, we're not going, to have the depressing locker room scene after the round of 32 again. I've done that the last two seasons, so hopefully a little bit better outcome this time. I think Baylor has a good shot in that second game this weekend.
Yeah, I would agree with that take. I was nervous. I've said this on multiple forums about getting like sent to Salt Lake City and having to play like a Nevada or a San Diego State or somebody that's going to really bring the fan base and be at a disadvantage as a three seed. That would have been a tough draw, but I do like getting either Clemson or New Mexico in Memphis. You're not going to see a ton of their fans there. I'm curious to see who brings the most fans. I think Nebraska is going to surprise us because Nebraska, has such a loyal fan base to begin with, and they've tasted no success at all in basketball for a very long time. The last time they were in the NCAA tournament, they played Baylor, and that was in San Antonio, and they brought a lot of fans to San Antonio. So I think, in fact, I noticed a lot of them wore Nebraska gear for their game against Baylor, and then turn around and change into Creighton gear for Creighton. So it's kind of interesting, but I think it's there'll be a it'll feel like a neutral environment is my point. So I think that'll help Baylor, and Baylor should advance to the Sweet 16.
Definitely, and there may not be a lot of fans at the opening game of Baylor Colgate. I guess if you're Nebraska or Aggie, is that the session two? I don't know what the session two is yet because I hadn't looked at the TV times.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the TV schedule for that either, right?
But such an early game, I could certainly see there being about 5,000 people max for
Right.
that first game. So it may not be the most well-attended one. But if you live in Dallas, you live in Waco, Ashley and I are making the drive from our respective cities. It's not too late to spend a weekend in Memphis.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've been through Memphis many times. I grew up in the DC area, so driving through Memphis and Nashville and on the way back to DC during breaks, was just my regular route. But I've never spent any time there, and so I'm excited to see what downtown Memphis has to offer. I know reputation-wise what it has to offer as far as like it's got a reputation for being a pretty dangerous city, but I think that downtown area during tournaments, they always clean up those downtown areas. There's heavy police presence, and I would expect it would be that type of they'll want to put their best foot forward, so you'll probably see the best things of Memphis during the time that we're down there. But I'm excited about the food. I'm excited to maybe catch some good jazz. I mean, but obviously the main reason we're going is basketball. So hopefully we see some good basketball and our Baylor Bears advancing.
The Baylor South Dakota contingent is praying I get attacked or robbed in Memphis. They can say, oh yeah, don't you wish you were still playing in South Dakota? What do you have to say about South Dakota now? So yeah, I think we're gonna have a good, safe weekend. Nothing bad's gonna happen in Memphis. We'll check out the Bass Pro Pyramid, all the other sights and attractions that Memphis has.
Right. I saw Ashley, our 605 bear that's from Sioux Falls originally. She lives in Central Texas now. I forget her last name, but she, I think maybe Gilchrist, but she, I probably shouldn't have identified her as giving away her screen name if she didn't want people to know who she was. But she made a comment about that last time I saw her, and she's a faithful listener to our podcast. So yeah, South Dakota, I mean, there's some great bears from that area, and I have a lot of, I mean, I tell you what, I have a lot of fondness about going to the Pentagon and playing games there. We're 2-0. We've got some great wins. I kind of regret not going to see the Auburn game after we've discovered how great Auburn is. Like, KenPom has them, what, number four or no? Yeah, number
Yep.
four. So they can't beat any good teams, but they beat everybody else pretty soundly.
Yeah, I know it's
I
like.
think they're like two and something like 1-7 against Quadrant One games or something crazy like that. I'm gonna look it up. It
They
was
haven't
kind of.
beat Aggie is their best win, so
Yeah.
but yeah,
The
they just
metrics
seem to maul
level.
people that are bad.
Yeah. They beat Florida pretty soundly.
Oh yeah, that's
That was
fair.
impressive.
I forgot that was the SEC title. So good
Oh,
team
they're 3-7.
and
Okay, they're 3-7 in quad one because of the win against Florida. Yeah. So they were 2-7 before that.
yeah, very funny though that Iowa State is the third highest KenPom team in their bracket.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that is crazy that and Baylor, still looks pretty good with their 10-9 in quad one. So the Bears are 4-1 in quad two. Was that the game at Kansas State? I
I
can't,
think
I don't
so.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make
That's the only one I could
sense.
even think would be close to that.
Right. Yeah, good season. Kind of like last year. A little bit more consistent than last year, I think. But hopefully it doesn't end like last year. Hopefully we see some better results coming out of that second game. We advanced to the round of 32 like we did last year. And then hopefully we get to the Sweet 16. I think when you agree, Kendall, that most people will be happy with that outcome. We want more, but I mean, as far as calling the season a success, if Baylor gets to the Sweet 16, we would look at the season as a success.
Yes, I mean, coming into this season, I think there were some loftier expectations you hope for, but in the era of one and done with the portal everywhere, you're not going to be as dominant every season. Matt Roberts, the great SID, provided the info that Baylor's one of, or is the only school that's been a top three seed each of the last four tournaments. So that kind of consistency where KU was a one or a two seed every year, I think is gone in this era. Gonzaga, even dominating the West Coast Conference, not like they were for so long. So yes, to me, because you didn't have the Sweet 16 the last 2 years, I think that's really the key for this season. And
Right.
then it would also just be nice to have another week where not every story we have to talk about is portaling, because that definitely opens way too early. And
Yeah.
absolute shame. I went on a rant on the radio show today, but absolute shame on the teams not playing in the NIT. Oklahoma is at best an NIT program, so I don't know why an NIT program would not choose to play in the tournament that supports what they are. 3 straight years, no NCAA tournament. Don't act like you're too good for the NIT. Your dream is the NIT.
Yeah. As I said on the message boards, you can't spell out without OU. So yeah, I guess they're opting out of the NIT as well. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's valuable experience. I mean, I guess if the kids don't want to play, then that's another thing. But I mean, most kids can. I mean, after the initial hurt of not making the big dance, like if you get a night to sleep on it, I think they'll all be grateful they're still playing basketball. But yeah, I hate those teams are declining the NIT. The Big East was another one. I mean, only three, the second strongest league according to KenPom, and they only get three teams. Did that surprise you? I was expecting four or five from the Big East.
It did. I kind of thought the Rick Pitino factor would carry St. John's across. Also, their predictive metrics 25. The real flaw you'd have in the committee this year is it's one thing if you just like put in certain teams and you can say, well, at least it's one metric we didn't expect the committee to have that dominated. And the chair, to give him credit, a lot of people made fun of him for what he said, but he pointed out at the very beginning when he's talking to Clark Kellogg, he's like, well, it's a lot of different voices in the room. And I
Right.
think he wanted to point out, look, I can't explain all this equally.
Sure, sure.
Michigan State has 14
Yeah.
losses,
Right.
is number 18 on KenPom. Really, the only justification you can have for Sparty in the field, and certainly the only justification not sending him to Dayton, would be KenPom number's great, Torvik number's great. We know analytically that's just one of the best teams. We're putting them in the field. Well, if you
And they
think that,
schedule incredibly hard. Yeah.
yep. But if you think that, why is St. John's not in the field, which is just a few spots below them, very
Right.
similar profile, and then I just cannot, for the life of me, understand how Virginia made it.
Yeah.
They have
The
very few good
the
wins.
Virginia's a surprise. Yeah, choosing them over Seton Hall and St. John's and Oklahoma. And even Indiana State was surprising to me. I thought after all those upsets happened, I thought Virginia was on the outside for sure. I guess, I mean, maybe just the Tony Bennett factor. I mean, but then you would say, well, Rick Pitino, why wouldn't he get the same level of respect? He's won national championships, so that was a surprise. I would agree with you.
And I just would have put K-State in if you were going to put Virginia in, because both, it's obvious that like K-State, credit the Jerome Tang has won 9 million overtime games in a row, but that's not sustainable. And that shows up when they get pounded by other teams. But they beat Baylor, they beat KU, they beat Iowa State, they beat Texas on a neutral court. And Virginia, if you look at who they lost to, the good teams, they just get absolutely smoked. And I'm sorry, but if I were in the committee room too, I would not sit there and think, wow, I really want to watch Virginia basketball when it's not good play. So yeah, I'm just
Yeah,
appalled
their
Virginia
style
made
of
it.
play is so susceptible to getting beat by lesser teams. Of course, they'll be the underdog in this tournament. But yeah, because they, when you have lower possessions, as we know, then that makes you a little more vulnerable against teams that have hot shooting nights. Yeah, who do you have some dark horses, like any teams that you're looking at that you're like, oh, that's a team that I think could make a run here.
It's tougher. So it's kind of weird because if you look at gambling wise, or if you just look at like what wins your bracket, so many people are going to take Connecticut that you probably don't want to take them to win the title. But as you mentioned, Auburn hasn't beat anybody good, but they look real good. Like not beating Baylor, they still look really good doing it. So I think I'm tempted to take Auburn to come out of that bracket. I also think there's a real chance that KU is undervalued.
If
Dickinson, if
they get both their guys back, yeah,
Yep,
right.
sounds like Dickinson's totally back. And then McCollar, we
Okay.
saw in Waco, you can get him out there for 25 minutes a game. I think that
Right.
bracket's super easy. I'm still selling everything Purdue, not buying it. It took Carson
Yeah.
Edwards going miraculous for them to have their only good tournament run. So I don't see Purdue happening. And I know you asked for who I'm buying as a dark horse, but I got to sell some people first. And then Illinois is the kind of team of destiny for a
Yeah.
lot of people. The team that wins the Big Ten tournament's always inflated. I don't know. Something about Brad
Right.
Underwood's style just never seems to work in March. So I don't like them. I also don't like Alabama. I guess if I had to take kind of a dark horse team and say, hey, who's a lower seeded team that I think could make a run? I don't know. I like a lot of the chalk this year.
Yeah.
Beyond, I think Creighton makes the final four. So that'd probably be my lowest seeded team along with Auburn to make the final four. What do you have, Ashley?
Well, I don't know how much to value the Pac-12, but I will say I was pretty impressed with Oregon. I mean, that center, is it Dante, or I can't remember how to pronounce his name. I'll look it up. He is a dominant player. I mean, he's super athletic. He's explosive. He may be the best center in college basketball right now. And if they can kind of ride, that wave that they had in the Pac-12 tournament, beating Arizona and Colorado. Let's see, how do we pronounce his name? Nafali Dante. Nafali Dante. Yeah, 6'11", senior. He's experienced. He controls the paint. I mean, they're interesting. I mean, I think they have the capability of definitely outperforming the 11 seed where they're slated. Then the other one I thought, finally got healthy is Wisconsin. I mean, they're a 5 seed, so they're not undervalued, but that could be a tricky game, potentially for like Duke and even Houston, to get out of that bracket. I think that Wisconsin's, plays a very fundamentally sound style of basketball. They beat Purdue. They took Illinois to the wire. It was a really good game. I watched most of that game and watched most of the Purdue game also. I was pretty impressed with Wisconsin. So those would be two that I would keep my eye on. Not exactly underdogs. It'll be interesting to see how like the McNeese States of the world and some of these Mountain West teams do. Hopefully not too well, at least against Baylor. But that's a conference that's been super competitive all year long. Hopefully Baylor's close games, will pay them dividends in the tournament, because they've been in so many, one possession, two possession games at the end of the game. And so they have a lot of experience in crunch time, executing in pressure moments. And I think those Mountain West teams may be in the same boat. They've had kind of a similar deal because they've had five or six teams that are just so equal to each other that a lot of those games come down to the wire. And there's been some really fun, exciting basketball. I won't claim that I watched every game in the Mountain West, but I caught four or five of them, and it's good quality basketball. And I think that that they may do better than people expect because of that, being tested in pressure moments concept.
I certainly think that's possible. The other team I would sell on, since I'm now thinking about who I sell, Kentucky all day.
Yeah.
I know they become
So
popular.
inconsistent. Yeah.
They're literally Baylor from last year, where
Right.
it's like you've got to be able to get a stop sometime. They can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
Is there any of the ones? Who's the one seed, I guess, Ashley, you would say that loses first?
Either Purdue or Houston. I mean, I think that, well, I say that, I think North Carolina is probably the weaker. Those three teams, UConn, Purdue, and Houston have kind of separated themselves this year. But Houston's banged up. I mean, we don't know, how effective Juwan Roberts is going to be in the tournament. He's that style of play. They were really banged up in that Big 12 championship game, and Iowa State took full advantage of that. Then Purdue, is just one of those teams that they're good, and they certainly can win it all, but it wouldn't surprise me if they get knocked out in the Sweet 16. I mean, they're vulnerable. I think they're. That in Wisconsin showed it. Wisconsin was able to execute down the stretch and beat them in the Big Ten tournament. So yeah, I mean, I think those two would be the ones I would think are most likely to bow out before the Elite Eight.
I
Would
think
you
so
agree with
too. What's
that?
your final four and champion, Ashley?
I'm picking Baylor. I'm going Homer. I'm going with Gary Parish and Dick Vitale. I'm going Baylor. I'm going UConn. I'm going to say Iowa State. Well, no, I can't pick Iowa State if I'm picking UConn. Never mind. That was a dumb comment. Let's see. Coming out of that other region. Oof, man, it's hard to pick Tennessee. I'll say Auburn does it. I'll say Auburn gets out of that other region with Purdue. And then in the Houston regional. Yeah, I gotta pick Houston there. So I'll say Houston, Auburn, Baylor, Connecticut, and a UConn Houston final.
Is I thought Auburn was in the Connecticut bracket.
Auburn is in the Houston bracket. Nope, that's not right. Auburn is in the Purdue bracket. No. I'm sorry. I my eyesight's terrible. That's Akron. The print is so tiny here, I can't see it.
Ashley,
All
you're
right, never
driving
mind.
all the way to
Yeah, I'm thriving.
Memphis
This is
with this
good. This is
vision.
good quality pod material right here. Obviously, I haven't filled out a bracket yet, so I'm doing this on the seat of my pants. All right. We're gonna start over. We're gonna go UConn. We're gonna go Baylor, and in that Purdue bracket. Yeah, I just don't trust Tennessee. I don't really trust Creighton either. All right, I'm gonna pick Purdue and then Houston, and I'll change it up. I'll say Purdue UConn in the final. So
Okay,
what's
I
your
think
what are your picks? Have you filled out a bracket already?
I filled out a couple, but for the purposes of this podcast, hold me to this. I'm gonna go with Auburn, Arizona, Marquette, Creighton, and then I
Ooh.
have Arizona over Creighton in the championship.
Wow.
Baylor legend Rim Bacchamus, director of player development in Arizona, gets it done. Caleb Love gets the last laugh against Carolina and wins another, or actually wins the title this time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I respect that pick. And I tell you what, if Arizona makes it to the Final Four, they're gonna have a considerable home court advantage for sure. Because they'll be playing in Arizona, and I've heard a rumor that Arizona fans are into basketball.
Yeah, that'll be a heck of a journey. Obviously, not a lot of success for Arizona the last two tournaments for Tommy Lloyd. And then you do get a little worried, Caleb Love. You know, he can win some games, he can lose you some games, as Baylor fans know. But that's the matchup I worry about for Baylor if they get to that second weekend. But who knows? Maybe Dayton or Nevada solves that problem for the Bears.
That'd be great. And you know, I would love to see an Arizona Baylor matchup and for Baylor to get their shot at knocking them out. I think Arizona's got, you know, a really good team on paper, but they've dealt with their own inconsistencies here down the stretch.
Yeah,
You know,
USC smoked
certainly,
him.
yeah, USC beat them by 13. And then, you know, Washington State sweeps them. Oregon State beats them. You know, Stanford beats them. The Florida Atlantic game was terrific. The Purdue game, you know, obviously they had the win at Duke, which a great win. Just crushed Wisconsin earlier in the year. Bama, you know, they've got some nice wins in their pocket, and they did well in the Pac-12, you know, 15-5, but we know the Pac-12 wasn't murderer's row, but yeah, that's it's going to be interesting to see how they do in the tournament. I mean, on paper they look good, and they've got multiple weapons, but the Caleb Love factor is always the big wild card for sure.
Yep. And then I guess coaching season, I will say Dusty May ends up at Louisville.
Yeah.
I don't know who's getting the Michigan job. And then from there, we see if any chaos envelops the sport. And my other hot take will be I think Porter Mosier finds some job to take and leaves Oklahoma before they go to the SEC.
Yeah, that DePaul job ending up with Chris Holtman was pretty. I think that was a big coup for them. I
I
think he's a
agree.
solid coach. Yeah, I think he'll do well there. Or well, I mean, I think they'll do as well as they can with, you know, having him at the helm for sure.
Yeah, I'd watch out for the Jerome Tang potential to Michigan.
Yeah,
I feel like
I've heard
he,
Bryce. I heard Bryce Drew's name linked to the Michigan job as well.
yeah, he'd
Bryce
be a
Drew's going to be
great.
a really hot name this offseason.
It turns out firing him after your star NBA player gets hurt to hire Jerry Stackhouse to never make the NCAA tournament, give him $15 million buyout. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I remember listening to a podcast with Jerry Stackhouse when he first took that job. And my impression was he has no clue how hard he needs to work to do well here. And I mean, you know, he's talking about like, you know, it's all going to be about player development. You know, it's like, I mean, but I will say like his coaching ability, I think, is pretty solid. But he just isn't getting the players that he needs to get to win at that level, and you know, so I expected that outcome, you know, for Vanderbilt. And like you said, I mean, if they had stuck with Bryce Drew, they'd be in a lot better position right now. You know, I would hate to see a Bryce Drew at Oklahoma State. Wouldn't that be a nightmare if like not only do you have to deal with Grant McCaslin and Jerome Tang, but like if a Jacus or a Bryce Drew took an Oklahoma State job, and then you got one more person in the conference that knows all Baylor secrets, that would not be good.
No, you don't
Hopefully,
want him.
these guys will start taking other jobs in other conferences. That would be the ideal scenario.
I know. Does this end with Ty Beard as the head coach at TCU in 11 years? And it's like when they show the Redskins or the then Redskins photo with like Sean McVay, will they have the photo of like 2021 Baylor's coaching staff and be like, beyond just the best players, like everyone up and down the roster is like a head coach somewhere in the Big 12? Yeah, I dream of all 16 Big 12 teams being led by someone connected to the staff from those years. Like Chris Nottingham needs to get like the UCF job in 2035. Like I believe all these things are possible. That's now what I'm rooting for in life.
That would be amazing. Yeah, I think it's you know, I mean, it just shows how great Scott Drew and the culture he's built is, and you know how these coaches are getting opportunities, and you know, it makes it a very attractive place to come. You know, I think Baylor could possibly lose Brooks and Jacus in the offseason. I mean, they're ready for head jobs, and I would think at least one of them probably takes an opportunity this offseason. But it's healthy, you know. I mean, other than missing them because they're friends, they're great guys, you know, they're great coaches, it's healthy for the program for that to happen, and for other people to get opportunities, and you know, for the staff to keep growing through promotion rather than losing. when the staff turns over because of losing, that's never a good thing. But when the staff turns over because of promotion, that's the best for everybody.
Yeah, those guys all deserve it. I would think at least, I think there's a chance at least one is gone. I hope both get rich and have great jobs. I hope everyone gets rich this offseason, except Texas and OU. I hope they get poor somehow, but I'm rooting for everybody on that staff to get richer.
Yeah, for sure. Well, all right. This is a good time catching up. And I'm glad I was well prepared for the NCAA bracket questions.
You may have saved your life getting glasses for
Oh man, this print's so small. Yeah, I'm like, okay, Auburn in that region. Yeah, they're not in that region. So that would make it hard for them to get out of that region if they're not even in that region. Let's go ahead and pick Akron. Since I can't read, let's just pick Akron to make the Final Four. Stranger things have happened. I actually think this year, like, is a year where, you know, we may get like a low, you know, like a 10 seed in the Final Four. I mean, it's, you know, that I could totally see that. I mean, it could be a lot like last year where crazy things happen and you end up with a really wonky Final Four because we've seen so many upsets, so much parity in college basketball. And outside of those three teams, Purdue, Houston, and UConn, there's just been, you know, kind of chaos throughout the rest of the sport. And NC State's another one. I mean, man, what they did winning five games in 5 days was very impressive. And the way they beat Carolina and that big guy, you know, the return of the big man is here. Eddie Lampkin, we got Dane Danger. We got the dude from NC State. I mean, we got these, like, you know, 300 pounders, like, dealing in the lane, you know, and Baylor's bigs are ready to take them to school if we can match up with them. But they're certainly hard to stop on offense and they're going to be a problem on the other end of the court. So, those will be fascinating matchups to watch because of how good those guys are offensively. You can probably put them in some bad positions on the defensive end, but offensively they're a load.
Yeah.
We thought the big man was dead, but the big man is back. Zach Edey, of course. Nafali Dante.
That was an all-time joke on the board. I can't remember who said it, but they were like, yeah, Buddhism, others, yourself, culture of boy doesn't really have the same ring to it. yeah, that was an all-time board joke. So incredible stuff. But yeah, I don't think
there's been some good humor on the board. I shout out to Derek Haas, the great screenwriter and you know, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD. He's been cracking jokes in the game thread. So we got some good humor on the boards. And as always, Ludwig von Misi. I mean, we got to give shout outs where shout outs are due.
Yeah, no, that's real good.
Yep. Well, hey, you've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast, Ring by Spring, with Ashley Hyde and Kendall Cowell. Sikkim Bears.